Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm your other co-host, Callie Picardo. And today we are honored to have with us Bishop Frank Beard. He is the bishop of the Illinois Great Rivers Conference of the United Methodist Church. He's been a bishop there since 2016, but before that, he served as a local church pastor, a district superintendent, and really just lives out his love for God and encouragement of others to know Jesus. I love it. We were talking earlier, and Bishop Beard, you said you've got one sermon, and that sermon is Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining us today and for being willing to share a little bit of your spiritual journey and your prayer journey as well. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you both for welcoming me, and I'm thankful and excited about what you're doing, and hopefully we can encourage some folks in the area of prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. When take us back. When did you start following Christ?
You know, my story is I love telling it, and it's a great story for churches. Especially small churches. I did not come out of a large church. I came out of a small downtown church that was in a racially changing neighborhood. And the neighborhood was not only changing ethnically, but it was also changing economically. And so my brother and I have a twin brother, and we were terrorizing the downtown neighborhood, as always. This fellow comes across the street, big white guy, and he asked these two little black boys, me and my twin brother, "Hey, boys, would you like some cookies and Kool-Aid?" And I said, "We'll have some over at the church, and if you come over, we'll give you all the cookies and Kool-Aid you can drink and eat." And so we're in there. So we went over to the church. Long story short, they had just ended vacation Bible school for the day. And so they had all these cookies and Kool-Aid. And so he asked us, "You ever been to vacation Bible school?" "No, sir, never. Don't know anything about vacation Bible school." And so he said, "Well, if we get permission from your parents, would you be able to come?" And said, "Sure, we don't have anything to do." And so we went to vacation Bible school. He picked us up every day that the rest of that week. And then at the end of the week, they took us to church camp. My folks gave permission. My grandmother, who watched us during the daytime, was ecstatically happy that these two little kids would be gone for an entire week, including overnight. I think she sang the Hallelujah chorus. So yeah, anyway, it was at Island Camp in Epworth Forest, which is in North Webster, Indiana. On a Wednesday night, they had a time around the campfire and asked if anybody wanted to open their heart and ask Jesus to be their forever friend. And I opened my heart, prayed what we called back then the sinner's prayer, and accepted Jesus. And that church discipled me and nurtured me to the point that even when I became a bishop in 2016, there were people from that church who came to my installation service.
Oh, my goodness. That's cool.
So it's been a lifelong. I tell people, be careful who you introduce to Christ. You might get him back as your pastor.
That's awesome.
That's so neat. I love that legacy there as well. And Bishop, you're a man of prayer. Prayer, I know, is a very important part of your journey. Tell us a little, what does prayer look like for you in your life in this season? And maybe how has that changed over your ministry in your life?
Yeah, prayer is, you know, everybody that prays wants to pray more. and that's the thing in my life. I wished I prayed more and my prayer life was more deeper and more developed. But I'm thankful to the Lord that, he put that, call, I think, on my life to become more of a person of prayer. Years ago, I was young in the ministry and didn't have a clue what I was doing, although I was trying to do the best I knew how and how I'd been trained. And I was praying a prayer. And this is a crazy story. It was up early one morning and I was praying. I was in a house. My family was asleep. And I prayed. I was just praying. I don't even know why I prayed this, but here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to experience your Pentecostal power. Mm. I don't even know why I prayed that.
Yeah.
Long story short, I felt the sound. I heard the sound of a mighty wind, and my entire house shook. There was like a boom, and my house shook, and it scared the liver out of me. I got up off my knees. I went to the front door, and I opened the door, and there wasn't a leaf blowing. There wasn't any. It was just as calm as could be outside. And so I closed the door. I went upstairs and got back in bed. It scared me that bad. And so I learned in that, first of all, be careful what you pray for.
Yes.
But the other thing I learned is that the power of God is real.
Mm.
And that, again, that's my experience. It's not somebody else's experience. And I've always had a desire and a longing to become deeper in my faith walk in prayer. And it's been a lifelong struggle as well as a journey. It's just like everybody else. You know, you have some peaks and some valleys. You have some times that are dry. You have some times that are challenging. Right now, I'm coming out of a very challenging time. I have when we moved into the Episcopal resident, they had a downstairs room. There's six rooms in our basement, and most of them were unfinished. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there was an area that was finished, and it was like too small to be a closet, too small to be a bedroom. I mean, it's just a space. And so they said, what are we going to do with this space? And I said, I know that's going to be my prayer room. And so we put a grease board in there, a dry erase board, and a chair and a little bookcase. And that's where I go to pray. And recently, though, my basement flooded and it wrecked my prayer room. So It's been a challenge trying to recover that space. But I've had a deep yearning to become a person of prayer and have seen the benefits. And again, like everybody else, there's ups and downs, highs and lows. And I wish I were stronger in prayer.
Well, you came up with your own breakthrough prayer for your life. And it kind of goes with that story about the mighty rushing wind. Mm-hmm. Can you share it with us?
Yeah, it's a prayer I pray all the time, and I've had my annual conference praying it. Lord, send the gentle wind of your Holy Spirit, blow upon the embers of my heart, and fan me into flames for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple prayer, but also pretty deep. Lord, send the gentle wind of your Holy Spirit, blow across the embers of my heart, and fan me into flames for Jesus. The word picture that I use is I grew up as a Boy Scout camper, all that stuff. And when you tend the fire, and if you fall asleep and it kind of goes down and you got to get it started in the morning, you get down and you gently blow until you find some ember. Mm-hmm. And when you blow, though, all kinds of stuff can happen. So you have to be careful. And I don't know that I coined this phrase, but I'm stealing it for my own. I say when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit always comes with a shop vac and a broom.
Mm.
Because if we pray and ask the Lord to empower me, to put me on fire, sometimes there's soot, sometimes there's stuff that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. And so the Holy Spirit comes with a shop vac and a broom, because there's also a cleansing that comes. And I don't know if it's simultaneous or subsequent to. I don't get into sequence, but I know that there's very little empowerment without cleansing.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard because that means we've got to give some stuff up. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some stuff that comes out of our life before we can go deeper to that next level. I mean, what would you say the person that wants more but is kind of scared to ask for more?
Yeah, and I'd say the thing is, don't be afraid, because the Bible says that our Heavenly Father, our God, our Heavenly Parent knows how to give good gifts to God's children.
Yeah.
And so if you ask for an egg, God's not going to give you a scorpion or a snake. Yeah. If you ask for something good, God's not going to withhold that from you. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, you don't take that to the nth extreme. I'm not into prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. although I do believe that God does bless us and God does cause us to be prosperous and to be blessed. We pray for our daily bread, and we're told to pray for that daily bread. So God obviously is concerned about our tangible needs, but we pray and we surrender and we just turn it over to the Lord and then step back and see what God's going to do.
You talked about earlier that the people who pray often want to pray more. They want to go deeper. When you start to experience the Lord, there's just that hunger for more. For those listening that really want to go deeper in their faith and deeper in their prayer walk, any wisdom or practical things or just big picture things that might help them?
One very practical thing when you're starting and want to develop a deeper time of prayer, don't jump in and say, okay, tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, whatever your pattern might be, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to pray for 1 hour. I'm going to pray for 1 hour. If it kills me, I'm going to tell you, it's going to kill you. you have to start small and build on it. Start small and recognize that the Lord wants to hear. Just as I'm a parent, I raised my wife and I raised 2.5 kids. The half kid was a niece that came live with us when she was in eighth grade, and we got her through college. So she's half ours, although she's 100% my baby sisters. But anyways, she came to live with us. And so raising those girls taught us when we love to hear from them. Mm-hmm. Back then, they'd give us cards or they'd draw and we'd stick it up on the refrigerator. We love to hear from them. Even now, we love to hear from them. And that's the way God is. God is a divine parent that loves to hear from us. But don't expect you're going to talk to God for an entire hour when you don't talk to God for 5 minutes. Wow. Okay, so you have to build that. It's just like training. You got to build those muscles, those prayer muscles, and grow in it. And then once you do that and you have a whatever your system, your style, whatever that is, once you develop that, it'll surprise you. You'll say, man, I've been praying for an hour and I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface. I haven't even gotten to all of my list. And I keep a board and I have things divided. And sometimes I'm halfway through the list and I'm like, man, I got to go. I got an appointment. I've been here an hour already. But don't expect you're going to start there. Start small and then trust God. And it's about a relationship. It's not about the time. It's about the quality, being in a place where you can fully give yourself to the Lord. And praying is not just talking. It's also listening. So listen to what the Lord says. I'm not a journaler. I've never been able to journal for long periods of time, but I keep a notepad in that prayer room with me. And when I hear the Lord say something or sense a gentle nudge, I'll write it down. And the good thing about writing it down is later you can take and the people that you have some spiritual accountability with or the people that you trust spiritually, you can bounce that off of them and say, hey, I think I heard from the Lord and I want to know how does this witness with your spirit?
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. We're at our church Mosaic. We're getting ready in a few months to do a whole series on learning how to hear God's voice. And I love that practical tip of, you know, writing it down, but then also going with some people you trust spiritually. If you're not used to hearing God's voice, you know, does this sound like God? Does this resonate? Might this be from the Lord? I love that wisdom there.
Yeah. And the one thing that you can be sure of, God is not going to contradict God's word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And God's not going to do anything that's going to take away from the character and nature of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So God's not going to tell you, you know, I want you to take a weapon and go into a church and kill people.
Right.
Because they're, you know, you're being used as a tool of judgment. That kind of, you didn't hear from God. That was the Pepsi and the pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Hey, Bishop, in your own prayer life and spiritual journey, any neat stories of answered prayer that you can share with us today?
Wow. How long you got?
Yeah. I know there's a lot, but any just fun ones that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Let me tell you something that just happened the other day. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was debating on whether or not I would tell you guys this. Because this like just happened, and it's not a great mighty miracle, but I was I'm at home this week by myself, which is, you know, my wife is visiting the grandkids out in California, so I'm home alone, so I have a lot of time. So I was looking up some YouTube podcasts. And I ran across one of my preachers who is at Sugar Creek United Methodist Church in Springfield, Illinois. So if you want to look up his thing, you can. And he was doing a thing using your book on dynamite prayer.
Mm.
And so I said, you know, I'm going to be talking to these folks. I better check this out. And I sat there and I was going to only just, it's I'm by myself. I'm just, you know, going through things. I'm going to listen to this, fast forward through it. And I sat there and listened to the whole thing, and I was like completely mesmerized. He was talking about Acts chapter 1:8 and the power of the Holy Spirit and how it relates to increasing and helping our prayer lives to be effective.
Mm.
I just sat there spellbound. And this guy, because we did this prayer initiative, the Dynamite Prayer, with our conference, it was a direct answer to prayer. And then as I went through some other YouTubes, it was like church after church after church. And some of those churches were in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. Wow. And I'm seeing some spiritual fruit. I'm seeing some spiritual life from those seeds that were sown. Wow. And my heart's just racing and I'm excited because I didn't know. I mean, sometimes when you put things out there, you don't always see it come back and you don't see the fruit of it. And so I was able to hear that sermon and know of what's happening in the life of that congregation, and to hear several others. And it just blessed my heart. I mean, it just really, really blessed my heart. So
that's awesome.
So that's not like a miracle answer to prayer, but it is an answer to prayer, because I've been praying for the prayer temperature in our annual conference to get stronger and for folks to yearn to go deeper with the Lord in prayer. And then I was seeing the effects of that.
I love that. That's what you want. You want people to hunger more, and you want them to lean in, because as they're leaning into God, they're going to start to be open to hear from God and follow God and to do amazing things. But if it's one person doing it on their own, we're not as strong on our own. We're very much better together. And that's part of what we try to lift up on this podcast, that we are better together.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you one crazy story, though.
Yeah.
This happened at the very beginning of my ministry. I was pastoring a small church in Anderson, Indiana, and I had people, I was trying to get them involved in making pastoral visitations and calls. So I had an older guy, James Bailey. He's dead and gone on to glory now, but he went out to a hospital making calls with me. So this one, we had to go down to Indianapolis, which is about a 40-minute drive from Anderson, 45-minute. And so we went down, and they had this lady on a gurney, a bed, hospital bed. and they had her strapped in and she was upside down. And I don't understand all the medical stuff, but they had all these wires and things hooked to her. And the doctors had said, we're going to unplug this lady and she's not going to make it. They're trying to keep the toxins from moving around her body. So I don't understand all the medical stuff. I just know she was on a gurney. She was upside down. So my young pastor that didn't pray very much, I'm like, okay, well, let's move on to the next one. And Mr. Bailey said, he said, Reverend, he says, don't you reckon we ought to pray for her?
Mm.
Oh, yes, Mr. Bailey, we were getting ready to do that just now. So we prayed and he prayed. And I guarantee you, my prayer didn't reach the ceiling of the hospital.
Mm.
But I think his prayer touched heaven.
Wow.
Long story short, 2 weeks later, that lady walked out of the hospital.
Mm.
And that became a lesson to me that you should, no matter what the doctors say, there is another doctor that's in charge.
Yeah.
And we ought to always listen to Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
And to pray for folks. And it was a great lesson for a rookie pastor to learn the power of a praying layperson.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't have to be a pastor to be able to pray. That's part of God's invitation for all of us. And it just, your story made me think of in James where it says, you have not because you ask not.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you would spend it on your own good pleasure. And so, you right. know, when we have those, it's not a like a putting a coin in a slot and getting something out again. It's very much no. But when we're praying and we're asking with the right heart in line with the heart of God, we shouldn't be surprised when we see miracles happen. God's still doing mm-hmm. miracles today. And sometimes we just need to be bold to ask mm-hmm. because what would God want to do?
The other thing, though, sometimes when you pray and you pray urgently and you pray fervently and God doesn't answer the prayer the way that we
mm-hmm.
want them answered and grandma goes ahead and dies or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be, we don't get, that bridge doesn't get built between relationships or whatever it happens. And we say, well, I'm just going to give up because God didn't hear my prayer. We don't know. We mm-hmm. just have to continue on and to trust that God is good, even when, you know, we don't get the prayers answered the way that we had thought. The thing that really got my attention in the Gospels, there's a story about this paralytic that gets carried and they won't let him into Jesus. That's a whole nother story. But these friends tear a hole in the mat. And they let this guy down and they lower him right in front of Jesus. Y'all remember what Jesus said to that guy? He said to him, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the story ends right there, we know what the guys on the roof are thinking. Wrong answer, dude. That's not why we did this. We could care less about his sins. But listen, the Lord knew that there was a blockage there that might be an impediment.
Yes.
To the real healing to the other healing that needed to take place. It wasn't the only healing. So what I'm trying to say is when we don't see the answer the way that we want, let's continue to trust God because there's an old gospel song. You guys are too young to know this song. It says, we'll understand it better by and by.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Well, thank you so much, Bishop Beard, for being with us and definitely inspiring our listeners to wherever they are to just start in prayer, knowing that you don't build that endurance overnight, but
yeah,
it's a marathon. And so thank you so much.
Well, and the other thing I would say to people is if you're praying, you're already doing it right.
Yes.
there is no wrong way to, there is no wrong way to pray as long as it's done with sincere faith and done in humility and done honoring and glorifying God. So don't think, well, I got to pray like the bishop, or I got to pray like my pastor, or I got to pray. Listen, you pray in your own way and you're doing it right. Just build on it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's awesome. Well, friends, You've been listening to Bishop Frank Beard sharing a little bit about his prayer life, and I hope it encourages you in your own prayer life, and perhaps you know someone else that might need to hear it as well. So I encourage you to share this podcast with someone you know who might need it. And until next time, remember, we are better together. God bless.